Please stand in body or in spirit. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say one of the prophets." "But what do you say?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. We have different translations. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said to him, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Christ.
For the confession today, I encourage you to read along from the screen. It's a special one. It comes based on that reading. "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We want an all-powerful Messiah who destroys our enemies. And when you refuse to be made king, we seek to crown humans instead. It is in them we find hope. We set our mind on human things, not on divine things. We fail to deny ourselves and take up the cross. We seek to save our own lives for our own sakes. We argue over who among us is the greatest. And still, your Son gave himself over to be killed, and after 3 days, he rose again. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At this time, we release anyone who wants to go to junior church. Okay. Any children who want to go to junior church for junior church?
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
O God, our teacher and guide, you draw us to yourself and welcome us as beloved children. Help us to lay aside all envy and selfish ambition that we may walk in your ways of wisdom and understanding as the servants of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
First reading is from the 11th chapter of Jeremiah. It was the Lord who made it known to me, and I knew then that you showed me their evil deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter, and I did not know it was against me that they devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will no longer be remembered." But you, O Lord of hosts, who judge righteously, who try the heart and the mind, let me see your retribution upon them. For to you I have committed my cause, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 54 responsively with me. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your might. For the insolent have risen against me. The ruthless seek my life. They do not set God before them.
But surely God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life.
He will repay my enemies for their evil. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. The second reading is from James, the third and the fourth chapter. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. You covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The word of the Lord.
St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
They went on from there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And after 3 days..." Let's start that again. "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when Jesus was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent. For on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, Jesus said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. So if you're wondering why you had two gospels today, The first gospel was actually the gospel from last week, which we didn't do when we were out at Shipwreck Sunday. We picked one related to, you know, waves and oceans and all, well, seas and all kinds of stuff. And so it's also a very important gospel, and I at the very least wanted us to hear it and confess based on it, though we did not... I will not be preaching on it. I will be preaching on the one that we just heard today because, after all, I kind of want to know what you're all bickering about. Uh-oh. Silence. Silence. What are you all... I was back there before the service. I heard you bickering and arguing. What are you arguing about?
Life.
When Jesus and the disciples arrived at the house in Capernaum, Jesus asked his disciples, "What were you arguing about on the way?" There were nervous looks, sideways glances to one another, kind of like when I asked you all here a moment ago, and then silence. Because in that moment, they knew that Jesus knew what they were talking about, what they were arguing about, what they were bickering about. They didn't even have to tell Jesus. Jesus just seemed to know. I've got some good news for y'all today. I am not Jesus. Ouch. That's rough. That's rough. I have no idea what you were talking about before the service, whether you were bickering and arguing. I don't have a clue. Let that settle in. I don't have a clue. Unfortunately for you, I have a pretty low view of human nature. It just comes with being a Lutheran pastor, I think. And I'm pretty sure this isn't just an original disciples kind of problem that we encounter today. Which one of us is the greatest? That's the argument that we hear today. And while most of us likely just don't go right up and say to someone, I'm greater than you, although some of us might do that, our oversized egos are constantly pushing us to be great. But not just any kind of great. We want to be the greatest. So when I stand before you to deliver a sermon, I am first and foremost here to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To proclaim Christ crucified and risen. And I don't want you leaving here every Sunday saying, wow, Pastor Sean preached another stinker again today. It's not what I'm here for either. My ego says, I want this to be the best sermon that you have ever heard. That's my ego, right? What about you and your vocations when you are out in the world? Do you want to be the best? Do you want to be the smartest? Do you want to be that go-to person? Do you want to be the greatest? Or do you want to be average? So-so, meh, or as the kids are saying, mid.
That's not what she's saying.
What's she want?
She said she already is the greatest.
Well, no, look, when I was reading that gospel, I was like, that's what my daughter thinks. Anyway, what about our church, though? We want our church, this congregation to be greater than all the other ones, don't we? Especially the one across the street or down on the other side of town, the one with more cars in the parking lot and butts in the seats, because we know that that's what it's about. More butts is more bucks, and more bucks pay the bills. That's true. But why does Grace Point? Why do they have so many members? What do they have that we don't have? I know. It's fog machines. They dim their lights. You trip on your way in because you can't see. Are they greater than us? Maybe we're just a bunch of fuddy-duddy losers that don't like guitars. So I have to ask. Beyond ourselves, beyond this church, there's Just a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit of bickering and arguing going on out in this country today, isn't there? And you're like, is he really going to go there? There are a whole lot of people who think that they are pretty great. And they want to make sure that we know how great they are, and they are willing to spend a lot of time and a lot of money to tell us how great they are, which I'm personally fine with, except for they bicker, and they argue. And when they bicker and they argue, it pulls us into it, and it pulls our lives into it, and it has real consequences for us and for our lives. We then start bickering amongst ourselves on their behalf. We take up their cause. And okay, that's okay. A little bit of honest bickering never hurt anyone, except for when it goes too far and it really does start hurting people. Not one, but two assassination attempts on the same presidential candidate in the past 2 months, one of which actually did literally hurt people and killed someone. Right? Okay. An Ohio city, it's coming closer, right? Springfield, right? An Ohio city with no fewer than 33 bomb threats, which were fortunately found out to be hoaxes, in the past week and a half that have closed schools, their city hall, and other public buildings, and it's forced the governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, to send over 30 state troopers to help investigate. So why? So children can go to school. It'd be nice if children could just go to school, but guess not anymore. So what are you all arguing about, questions Jesus. Is he talking to his disciples, you know, the original 12, or is he talking to his disciples, you know, the roughly 50 or so, or all of us? And they were silent. Because they were ashamed. Because on the way to Capernaum, after Jesus had told them for a second time in short order that he would be betrayed, that he would be killed, and that after 3 days he would rise again, they were busy arguing. They were not arguing amongst themselves what Jesus possibly meant by saying these really weird, cryptic things about his life, his death, and his resurrection. They were busy arguing about who was the greatest. They didn't use the walk to say, hey, Jesus, you said this really weird thing about dying and then, you know, rising again after 3 days. Like, can you explain that? Like, what does that mean? No, they didn't care about that. It's like his words had no effect, and the disciples, they just continue living in the world as if Jesus hadn't said anything. Perhaps if he hadn't even existed in the first place. Now I ask again, is that how Jesus' disciples, you know, the original 12 acted, or is it how his disciples, you know, us? Is it how we act? What I find amusing, so amusing, is that the disciples didn't even have to answer Jesus' question because he knows what they were arguing about, and they know he knows. So I have to ask this. If we believe in an omniscient and in an all-knowing God, then that would follow that Jesus knows what we're arguing about and bickering about. I don't have to ask. It doesn't matter to me. So do we know that he knows? Or do we just not care? So being right, winning that argument, being the greatest and the most powerful, how much does this matter? How much does this really matter when we stand in the knowledge that Jesus was betrayed and murdered and rose after 3 days? Like, isn't that life-changing and life-altering? It should be, because as Christians, this is the starting point. Everything about us, everything about how we live our lives, our faith, it flows from this truth. You want to be the greatest, Jesus says? You want to be first? It means you must be servant. How well do you remember your Greek over here? That word for servant, we really don't like that Greek word because that Greek word really means slave. We don't like to say the word slave in our biblical texts, but that Greek word is translated slave. You want to be first, then you have to be slave of all. And what does it look like to be slave of all? It is cruciform. It comes in the form of a cross. It is a cruciform faith. Anyone here baptized? Okay. Hey, Liz, yes! Guess what? You have a cruciform faith. You were all crucified. You were all put to death on that cross. That is following Jesus Christ. It takes the form of a cross. It is being handed over to die in our baptism. Now I have to ask, anyone want to live out that death day after day after day? Because that's what it means to be the greatest. I'll put my hand down now. So I have some bad news. This is the call. Are we up for it? The call is the way of that cross. So because he knows that the disciples are dumb and don't really know what he means, he shows them. He picks up a little child and he puts it among them. He takes the child in his arms, and Jesus says, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And not only me, the one who sent me. And I gotta say, we're all breathing a big sigh of relief right now, because in our American society, in the 21st century, we absolutely love and adore our children, don't we? I mean, we even have busy bags back there so we can hand them to them so that they can be quiet and we can listen to the best sermon we've ever heard, right? I think it's telling that the child kind of appears. It just appears, right? We don't hear about this child until Jesus uses it. It, by the way. Go back and look at the text. It says it. Until Jesus uses it to show his disciples who the least of these are. I think there's a reason the word it is used and not he or she. Children were perhaps to be seen, but definitely not heard. They were important for progeny, right? For carrying on that family name, for making sure that their parents were cared for in their older years, in their old age. But as children, until they could work, until they could do something to earn their keep, they were just another mouth to feed. Kind of the worst, right? They were, well, pretty worthless. Can't even get them to do the dishes. They were what I will call a discarded class, and that's where it's a little different. We don't discard these little ones. They're the center of our lives. The object of our affection. So I have to ask, in the 21st century America, who is this discarded class here in our context today? Is it the children? They don't look all that discarded to me. They're usually not today the discarded class in our modern American world, where many adults' lives revolve around their children and their grandchildren, right? But there are certainly unwanted children in our society, aren't there? Those who come from broken homes, the abused, the neglected. We know these people. But even loved and cherished children suffer because of us. Like, you know, when bomb threats keep them from going to school. But I have to ask, who else? Who else is from the discarded class? Who are we called to wrap in our arms and welcome them here in this place, into this place? Who do we find that is at risk in our society? Who is at the bottom of the social ladder, and when they try to get a hand up and grab onto that bottom rung, gets their hands stepped on and their fingers broken? And I have to ask, what do we as Christians do to play a part in keeping those people down there where they belong? At least until they decide to start looking and acting and believing like us. Then they can come on in. Because we are, in fact, as we all know, pretty great. I will say this, Art, about us. We are great. We are great. We are great sinners. We are amazing sinners, the best sinners, fantastic sinners. We are lost and broken sinners. We are the greatest, even. I mean, probably no more than others, but we're all pretty great sinners. So, do we just give up? Go home? We're hopeless, we're lost. So we hear from the mouth of it, and I, at this point, I should probably pause and say, that was like 10 straight minutes of me hammering you with the law. But this is a pretty law-heavy gospel today, right? And when I was going through it this week, I even asked myself, where is the gospel in this? And there I found it. It was one word. One word. We hear from the mouth of Jesus. It's a command to us, right? But it's also a promise. And we know that we cannot possibly listen to God's commands on our own, by our own doing. Commands are being able to follow them. They flow from the promise. So if you walk out of here today and remember from this today, the greatest sermon you've ever heard, and you remember just one word, this is the one word I want you to remember. Welcome. Welcome. So first comes that promise of welcome. Jesus Christ, through his life, his death, and his resurrection, he tells his disciples today about this, and they ignored him. But we are welcomed into that life, into that death, and into that resurrection in our baptisms. We live and die and rise with him on the cross. We are welcomed into the life of Christ. I think I even said that to you a few weeks ago. Welcome into the life of Christ, or something like that. Sounds like something, you know, the liturgy would have me say. The disciples, they ignored this. But really, this is what freed them, and it's what frees us from having to be great. Isn't that kind of liberating? You don't have to be great. You just have to be you. Jesus flips the entire world on its head. And instead, Jesus says, you are welcome exactly as you are. Whoever welcomes the least of these, Jesus says. Come as you are, Jesus says. And he really actually means it. That's crazy. This is a radical welcome, and it is an incredible gift. It's a promise that in turn frees us, right? Command, or the sorry, the promise is welcome, and then we are freed to respond to the command of welcome. So Jesus, in picking up this unnamed and worthless child, commands us to welcome all of God's children, all of the downtrodden, all of the stepped upon, all of the discarded and forgotten, all of the unimportant and the hated. There is no arguing about who these people are. There's no bickering about it, no taking up sides for people, that argue and bicker and intentionally divide us. We're to welcome those people too. We are just to welcome, even for the one that you would normally argue and bicker with. You are to welcome even the one that you don't like a whole lot, or maybe even hate. You are to welcome the one, this one's hard, who hates you. The command is welcome. And it flows from the promise that we have been welcomed. The command is impossible without the promise. So there's one final bit of good news that hides in this promise today, and I kind of intentionally hid it from you in the way I asked the question. I asked earlier, who are the least of these? I framed it so hopefully you thought of other people in groups and not yourself. I wanted you to be outward looking rather than inward looking in that moment. But right now I want you to be just a little bit inward looking. Who among us hasn't felt that we were at some point been the least of these? Maybe not all the time, but maybe sometimes. We've all felt downtrodden and stepped upon, unimportant, hated, discarded, far from being the greatest. And I'll have to say, I think it's at times like these that Jesus picks us up, he cradles us into his arms, and he says, you are welcome here. You are welcome here, my child, just as you are. You are welcome here.
welcome. It is Jesus' command, and it flows from his promise, a promise that says, welcome. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe, using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell.
Kramer and family.
And my hometown of Springfield.
City of Springfield, Ohio.
City of Springfield, Ohio. Any others? Paul Steinman. Who is in hospice? Any other prayers this morning? Say again, please. Pabst and McMillan family. Today I am going to take, maybe I already took him off this week, so I'm going to take Caleb McMillan off of our prayer list. We have been praying for him for well over a year at this point, and he has a pretty rare condition, and it's been treated with some experimental treatments, and they are going extremely well. And he's currently in remission from all of the symptoms and whatnot that come with that, and the disease has stopped progressing. So we will say a prayer of thanksgiving for Caleb today. Any other prayers? Let us pray. Drawn together in the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray with confidence for the church, for God's good creation, and all who are in need.
Loving God, you welcome all at your table of grace. Instill in your church a spirit of humility and courtesy, and we embrace all who seek you. We pray especially for the ministers and hospitality and faith formation, especially our meal ministry, our partnership with Cooperative Christian Services of Gallion and the Girl Scouts, and for all new and continuing students of Northeastern and Northwestern Ohio Synod
Diaconia Program.
Thank you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Gracious God, your peace brings justice and solidarity. We pray that all political leaders and candidates immediately stop hateful and divisive rhetoric and instead encourage reasoned debate of important issues. Heal and protect communities impacted by controversies and scrutinies brought on by this political season, especially the city of Springfield, Ohio. We ask that you protect all candidates and office holders and shield them from physical harm and assassination attempts. Give us, your people, the wisdom and courage to speak a word of love into a world divided by hate, that your love for your creation may begin to heal divisions in our country and beyond. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Creating God, you shape the world so there is more than enough for all. We pray for a fruitful harvest that it may feed the hungry of this world. And for those who labor in the fields, orchards, gardens, and all other areas of agriculture, that they may be kept safe by your hand. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Faithful God, you draw near to you all who are in need. Bring healing and wholeness to all who suffer, especially Brian, Martha, Wylea, Paige, Robin, Phil, Carl, Jim, Sandy, Scott, Jean, Stephanie and Nathan, Tina, Kathy, Barb, Jane, Noel, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, Ed, Peggy, Bobby, Nancy, Jim, Karen, Bill, Linda, Wilma, Troy and his family, for Paul, who's in hospice, for the Pabst and McMillan families, and for all who we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. We lift today a prayer of thanksgiving for Caleb. Hear us, O God.
Transforming God, you're accompanying your people through changes and transitions. Help us to see where you are calling this community, First Lutheran Church in Gallion, Ohio, to new ways of living the gospel promise. Open us to partnership, especially with St. Paul and North Robinson, and keep our hearts turned to the movement of the Spirit in the world around us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We entrust these and all our prayers to you, Holy God, in the name of your beloved child, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. We continue worship. We continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
And all in need. To Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus welcomes you, his children, to this table, where all are fed and all are nourished.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Holy God, you have welcomed us to you this meal and fed us with dignity at your table. Send us now to welcome others and to be at peace with one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. All right. I have two announcements this morning, I think. One, just like Jesus had a kid, I have some show and tell as well. M&M's, plain, please. Only if you promise to replace them and then some. Anyway, so we are collecting approximately 70 million fun-sized bags of M&Ms. Okay, so for Spooktacular, there's allegedly like, I don't know, like 1,000 kids that show up for that, and we try to give two of a piece of candy to each of them. So we are looking for 2,000 bags. That is a lot, I know, of fun-size M&Ms. So each one of these bags has 36, I'm doing math right now on the fly, 36 bags of M&Ms. So two of them has 72. So we need like, I don't know, 80 times more than this. Anyway, so starting next Sunday, please bring some bags of M&Ms. Why are we collecting M&Ms, chocolate for peanut allergies, please? Why are we doing that? Marty, as I prepare my next announcement. Come on. Well, you got to keep going because it's going to take more. All right, here's the other announcement. Since I, you know, sent this pondering out on Thursday, including a video, I'm waiting to receive emails and text messages and phone calls about it, but none of you have done any of that yet, which I expected. I knew that none of you would do that, so I took matters into my own hands. So here's what we've got. If anyone has read any of my stuff over the past 4 weeks, we have this connection and interaction pyramid. How do we connect and interact with each other and the world around us, right? Well, at first, it's what we're doing right now, in-person worship with communion. All right, that's our foundation, right? What builds on this foundation? That is my question. I can give you lots of answers. I can give you lots of answers. But I don't want my answers. I want your answers as well. I feel like you answering this question is how we make the Holy Spirit. We don't make the Holy Spirit move. We've talked about the Holy Spirit before. What's the Holy Spirit? It's a fire-breathing dragon, right? Try to, you know, control a fire-breathing dragon. But what I want to do is invite the Holy Spirit, the fire-breathing dragon, into this place, okay? So what that means is you take these little sticky notes. That's where it's going to start. You take these little sticky notes, and you stick them somewhere here on this board. So outside of worship, outside of our worship time, how do we connect and interact with all of the people of our faith community? So people who might call themselves First Lutheranites or something. And then pink is outside of worship. How do we connect and interact with the community out there? How do we connect with the community around us? Non-First Lutheranites. Okay, so what I'm looking for here is things we already do.
things we are already doing as of right now in this moment. Not what things that we might do, not ideas, not whatever's. Right now, I want to know things what we do. Okay? I'm not going to stand up here and do this. It's going to be out there. It's for you to fill out. Okay? And just in case you didn't read my pondering, I printed out 50 of them. I don't know how many of you are here today. During our, how many? 52. Oh, man. Some of you are going to have to share. I'm going to have these handed out during our, you know, what do we call it? The hymn where we leave. Yeah, the exiting hymn or whatever. Closing, whatever. It's a hymn. And we're going to hand it out then. And I want you to read it. And these questions are kind of on there. And I want you to think about it. And then I want you to come here. And I want you to, I don't have that many pink ones. I want to run out of pink ones. If it's a duplicate, I don't care. Put it up there. I would like each person to put one yellow at least and one pink at least up here on this board. I want it full. And if it doesn't fill up on its own, we'll just spend time during worship next Sunday doing it. I don't care. I'll hand it out during worship. I'll give us a couple weeks, okay? But eventually, I would like to move beyond the things we already do and to ideas of things we could do, right? So, how do we build upon our foundation of in-person worship with communion to connect with others, right? And this all kind of grew out of talking about how we might use technology to connect with others. So it doesn't have to be just things that we do in person to connect with others. It can include technology, okay? Even though technology is evil. Even though I have kind of said maybe it's not quite as evil as I initially said. Anyway, what other announcements this morning? That was more of a preachy stuff rather than an announcement. Nothing else? All right, well then, I guess I'll bless you. Please stand in body or in spirit and receive this blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.